If I could have the ushers grab the handouts there on the tables and pass those out to one every person. That's kind of an outline of what we're going to be talking about this evening. Just pass those out quickly. As they're passing those out, let's take our Bibles and turn to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Now, all of us probably could quote this, but we're going to read this for our jumping pad here. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Here, God gives us the full purpose of the soul winner. He gives us the full purpose of the soul winner to go and then to teach, which means lead people to Christ. And then after they are led to Christ, then see them baptized. And then after they are baptized, then to see them come to church and become active in the church. So God gives us the full purpose of soul winning right here in this passage, okay? Does everybody have one of those sheets? Everybody has one of those? All right, we have enough. All right, if you do not have one, raise your hand. If you do not have one, raise your hand. Okay. Right there in the back. Okay. All right, as soon as you get one, we're going to be going through this sheet of paper, and we're going to be talking about soul winning with a purpose. Soul winning with a purpose. If I'm going to do anything, I want to have a purpose for what I do. And soul winning is no excuse to that. I want to have a purpose to my soul winning. Soul winning, here in Ephesians 6:6, the Bible says, "The servants of God doing the will of God from the heart." The servants of God doing the will of God from the heart. If the soul winner goes forth with a heart in his soul winning, he's going to see product. God's going to bless him. I don't go out soul winning just because that's just what I have to do and that's the thing that's demanded of me. No, it's from my heart. And each soul winner should go forth, go soul winning from his or her heart. And so, soul winning, right here, soul winning is like a sport or hobby. The more you know about it, the more effective you are. If I know more about soul winning, the more I know about the hobby or the sport that I am in, the more effective I will be. This past Thanksgiving, I was at my grandparents' and my brother-in-law, Chad Pope. He was sitting there in the living room, and we were watching Texas A&M and Texas, I think it was Longhorns, play. And my brother-in-law was a big quarterback for a school in New Mexico. And so he was sitting there. He was telling all these guys all these orders. You know how you talk. I guess you talk to the TV or whatever. And he was telling, no, do this, do this. And I was saying the same. Yeah, do this, do this. Yeah, that's right. Exactly whatever Chad says. Why? Because I don't know anything about football. I just know you got to get the ball to the other side of the field. And but Chad, he knew everything about he knew the game, and he knew all the different plays. And so he would be, if you put my brother-in-law, Chad, and myself, if you put us on the field, I would be ran over every time, because he knows a whole lot more about the sport. And soul winning is the same thing. The more I know about soul winning, the more effective I'm going to be. I want to be just as effective in my soul winning as possible. Romans chapter 10 and verse 2 says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Have you ever been around somebody that's got all the zeal? I mean, they're just ready to go, but then they don't know where to spend it, and they just fly off and do something, and then you find them a couple days later, they're embarrassed, and they're coming, "Man, I should have asked you about doing thus and such." And I remember one time, or on my bus route in Oklahoma, I had this hotel called the Habana Inn, and it was known for its it was a gay inn. And so one day they had a gay rally, and on my bus route I was picking up my kids, and here they were just having this great big old rally. I thought, how dare them? I can't believe this is going on my bus route. And I got all fired up, and there were some other. I got off my bus route, and there's some other guys at church, and they were all fired up, and they said, "Hey, let's go down there, let's street preach to them. Man, we're gonna preach and let them know somebody's against all this." And we were all fired up. That's called zeal, and not a whole lot of knowledge. Amen. We went down there. I said, "Now, fellas, this is what we have to do. In order to go down there and let them know that we are against it but not get in trouble, you got to keep your hands in your pockets. Don't be smacking anybody or anything like that." All right, we all agree. Okay, this is the way we're going to do it. We get down there. We load up in two cars. We go down there, and I'm preaching away, and I have this lady just a roaring her motorcycle on my street corner and just preaching away. And then one of the preacher boys comes up to me and says, "Oh, so-and-so just got done hitting somebody." I said, "Oh, no." I said, "The police are going to be here real quick, and so let's get out of here." And about 10 minutes later, that boy was carried off in the police car. That's called zeal with no knowledge. Amen, let's go get him. Woo! What are we out here for? I don't know. I just got excited, amen. And knowledge is the element that makes zeal effective. Knowledge is the element that will make your zeal effective in your soul winning. Embarrassment is often a product of lack of knowledge. Embarrassment is often a product of lack of knowledge. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Because he studied and he knows what he's doing. He knows his goal, and he knows the object of going out soul winning is to see people saved. Have you ever been asked a simple Bible question for which you did not know a Bible verse? What happens? You become embarrassed, and you lose your confidence. And that's often what happens when you're at the door, and you sit there and say, "Well, I know it's in the Bible. If you'll just believe me and trust me," well, the person doesn't want to hear what you have to say. They want to hear from the Bible. And embarrassment often comes when you're not familiar with your knowledge that you're supposed to be familiar with. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. The Bible, God wants us to go out soul winning with a knowledge of knowing what we are doing, knowing why we're out there, and knowing the end result is to see people saved. And the Bible in Hosea says here, you've rejected, God says, you've rejected my knowledge, and therefore you're destroyed. You stand at a door and somebody asks you, "Well, what do you think about?" And it's a simple Bible question, and you say, "Well, over here it tells us," and you fumble around, and their trust in you telling them the Word of God is destroyed because you are not familiar with the verses you're supposed to be familiar with, or you lack knowledge. Knowledge breeds uselessness. Knowledge breeds uselessness. Or excuse me, ignorance. Everybody's looking at me crazy. Ignorance breeds usefulness. Have you ever been on a job and you're working on a job and the person says, "Well, you just watch and I'll do the work, okay?" And you sit there and you watch. And then they go to another job and, "You just watch, I'll do the job, okay?" And then you don't watch as attentive as you're supposed to. Then he says, "Why don't you do this job and I'm going to go over here and do this?" Then it becomes your turn to do it, and you completely forget what that man did or what that man told you, and you sit there and he comes back and the job isn't fulfilled. Why? Because ignorance breeds uselessness. I worked at a plant in Oklahoma, a place called Love Box. And it was a place that made paper boxes. And we had a corrugator, and that corrugator would run about 600 feet per minute. And for the first week that I was there, it was all, you watch, let me do the work. You watch, let me do the work. And you eventually get sick of just standing there and watching all the work be done, amen? And so the Bible, the fire of zeal kindled with knowledge will produce an effective soul winner. I put knowledge and I put zeal together, and they will produce a soul winner that is effective in his soul winning. The knowledge of God's Word. The knowledge of God's Word. There are some scriptures as a soul winner you need to know as you go out and as you witness with people. There are some scriptures, some basic scriptures you must know in order to be effective in your soul winning. The knowledge of hell will motivate the soul winner. Hell is the greatest motivator of the soul winner. Why? Because we're trying to keep everybody out of hell. But if you don't know, if you don't think about it, if you don't meditate on it, and it doesn't cross your mind, you won't be able to be effective as you should be. And you say, how in the world can that be? Because if I know, if I have a knowledge about hell, I'm going to press the issue just as hard as I can. I'm going to be as fervent, and I'm going to try to get that person to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior if they realize that they're a sinner on the way to hell. So the knowledge of God's Word will help you be an effective soul winner. The knowledge of hell will help you be an effective soul winner. And the knowledge of the Great Commission. The knowledge of the Great Commission. If I know the Great Commission, I will be a soul winner because that's God's command to me. That is God's command. I didn't say that's God's, He gives us a choice. No, that's God's command. He didn't even give us a choice. It's the same thing as like baptism. You get saved, you get baptized. Right after salvation comes baptism. Right after, as you grow in the Lord, soul winning is a part of the Christian life. Soul winning is part of the Christian life. And if we don't know the Great Commission, we won't be as effective soul winner as God wants us to be. Fear will kill your effectiveness for Christ. Fear will kill your effectiveness for Christ. Have you ever had a job, or how about, have you ever had to come sing and you're afraid of that high note, huh? What often happens? You get to that high note, now you've hit it every time, but you get to that high note and you're so afraid, and then you crack and the high note doesn't come out. Why? Because fear killed your effectiveness. And as a soul winner, you go up to the door, you knock on the door, you visit. But if you are crippled with fear, you aren't going to be able to be as effective as God wants you to be. The Apostle Paul did not let fear hinder his effectiveness for Christ because he knew it would hinder the results of the gospel that the gospel could bring. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul said about his soul winning. Don't let Satan hinder your, or don't let Satan hinder your soul winning by enslaving you to fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You say, Brother Kidd, why are you hitting this fear? We've been talking about fear for almost the whole time now. Because the soul winner, when he thinks about soul winning, he thinks, good night, I have to talk to a stranger that I don't know anything about. And it seems like fear grips the soul winner to the extent where he can't fulfill God's, or he doesn't fulfill God's Great Commission. That's why fear, it is so important to get rid of that fear and let God use you. Let God use you. Fear kills your effectiveness for Christ. On the job, You're about ready to talk to the boss about salvation. All of a sudden you get afraid. And what happens? You don't witness. You're about ready to talk to your neighbor about heaven and hell, but then the thought, well, that guy's going to think I'm crazy. And fear grips you and closes your mouth so that you're not effective in your soul winning. Four ways to overcome fear. Pray for God's boldness. Pray for God's boldness. God, help me to be bold as I go soul winning. Realize whose authority you are going with. Oh, I like that. Amen. Realize whose authority you are going with. Know what you're going to say before you approach the door. That will help kill your fear. Just go soul winning. Just go soul winning. Pray for God's boldness. Acts 4 and verse 29 says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Here's the apostles, they knew that it was fear that would hinder their soul winning. The apostles knew their boldness did not depend on themselves, but on God. They knew that. So they had to pray. God, help me not to be fearful as I stand in front of this door and as I witness to this person. God, take away that fear. Now God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We know that we have a God that takes away or answers prayer. And if we ask God to take away our fear, God says He will. Amen. Realize whose authority you are going with. We are going with the authority of the God that formed the heaven and earth. Amen? That's a blessing to my heart. I am going with the authority of the person that made the person that I'm going to talk to. I am going with that authority. It is not the authority of man through which a soul winner wins souls, but through the authority of the Creator of man's souls. I am going because God sent me. I'm not going because I just had a horrible dream and thought I better warn all my friends, warn all my neighbors. No, no, no. I have been commissioned. This is the greatest commission that I could ever fulfill. And God, the God of the universe, has sent me on this mission. Somebody gets mad at me for knocking on their door. I'm fulfilling the great commission that God, their Creator, sent me to tell them. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto you in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." All power is given unto you in heaven and earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And then he says, I have all the power. You do the going. But then at the end of verse 20, I love it. It says, I'm going to be with you. So all the power I have and all your zeal and all the knowledge I have is going to go with you so that you can be effective in your soul winning. Know what you are going to say before you approach the door. Know what you're going to say before you approach the door. Confidence in your introduction will give you courage in your visitation. Confidence in your introduction will give you courage in your visitation. Have you ever had a bad start on something? Like, I can remember my dad told me the story about he was going to be singing "O Holy Night." And those of you who sing, that's a pretty difficult song. And I don't know because I've never sang it, amen? And that high note, that makes you nervous. And so my dad and his brother and a few of my nephews, they were about ready to sing this song. As he pointed to the piano started playing. And this pianist was not very skilled. And so she hit all the wrong chords. And my dad looked over there and said, "Why don't you try that again?" And so she tried it again. And it was all the wrong chords again. He said, "Why don't you try that again?" After four times, they finally got to the song. And my dad started the song with, "Oh, holy night." Just like that. He said it turned out horrible. Why? Because the confidence in your introduction will give you courage in your visitation. Hi, my name is Caleb Hansen, and I'm from Faith Baptist Church. And I'd like to tell you how you can go to heaven. All right? Just go sowing. See, I'm not very good at it. You aren't going to get any better not doing it. You better go out there and do it, amen? Amen. If you want one of these guys as your silent partner, I'm sure they would like to do that, amen? John chapter 15 and verse 16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." The key to the soul winner's success is his or her faithfulness to the task. The key to my success, the key to your success in your soul winning, is your faithfulness. As a child, I would go out fishing sometimes. I would put the hook in the water. I'd pull the hook up. I didn't catch anything. Well, that doesn't even work. Throw the pole and all the worms into the water. I tried it once. It didn't work. No. The success of my fishing, the success of my whatever you want to put in there, is the faithfulness to the practicing, the faithfulness to the attending. The faithfulness is the key to my success. We must do the going. God will take care of the increase. God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. God gives the increase. Don't worry about the increase. You just be faithful to the going, and God will take care of the increase. The Christian should not go sowing because he has been promised a great harvest, but because he is obeying God's command. The harvest will come because you are faithful to the task of sowing. God has promised the task. He says, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall," what's the next word? Doubtless. God already promised the harvest. The harvest is out there. He talks about look into fields that are already ripe unto harvest. The fields are white already to harvest. And God says the harvest is out there. You've been promised the harvest, but the going is the thing that's going to bring the harvest in. And your faithfulness to the harvest, you say, "Well, I've never been able to have all those great, big, exciting stories, you know, of these different people. They tell their exciting stories. I mean, this man, they found him, and he was about ready to die, and then he got saved, and all this different stuff. Or I was knocking over here, and this person said, 'I was waiting for you to come by. I just had a dream about you,' and all this different things, you know. I've never had one of those type of experiences." Faithfulness to your call, or faithfulness to soul winning, the task, will bring forth fruit for your soul winning. There are four basic areas which the soul winner must be knowledgeable. The first thing is the preparation of the soul winner, the presentation of the soul winner, the plan of the gospel, and the fourth thing, the persuasion that we're going to be talking about this evening. We'll talk about the preparation, okay? The preparation of the soul winner. Success is not in the performance, but in the preparation. The success is not in the performance, boy, because I can make myself do really good once or twice. But then preparation helps me to perform and be successful every time. Every time. Success is not in the performance, but in the preparation. Mental preparation. Mental preparation. Prepare your mind mentally Don't let rejection discourage you. Don't let rejection discourage you. Realize they are not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. Realize they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. You are not a failure if they reject the gospel. You're not a failure if they reject the gospel. You go to your co-worker and you say, hey, I have something I want to talk to you about on lunch break. You talk to them about that. And he rejects you, telling you, hey, I don't want to hear that ever again come out of your mouth. Don't ever talk to me about that. And then the devil gets in there and says, see, he doesn't like you anymore. It has nothing to do with you and him. It has everything to do with him and God. Him and God. Don't let rejection discourage you. Don't let it discourage you. And realize if they reject the gospel, you're not a failure. Understand, you are only the messenger. I'm only a messenger. Sending the message, telling the message that I've been given. I am telling you the message I've been sent to tell you this. Don't be discouraged before you approach the first visit. Well, I never get anybody saved anyhow. I don't know what the sense is of going out. And it's a gray day anyhow. I haven't seen the sun in how many days has it been? 5, 6 days? And it's just discouraging. I'm sure somebody's going to slam the door on my face and this and that. And discouraged before you even get to the first door. Don't be discouraged before you get to the first door or to the first visit. Because mental discouragement, you have to wait for this one, all right? Mental discouragement is one of the soul winner's greatest enemies. Mental discouragement is one of the soul winner's greatest enemies. A soul winner thinks about going out, knocking on doors, and a door being slammed in his face. Well, that's not really for me. I'll just pray for the others as they go out. Discouragement has never won a soul to Christ. Discouragement has never won a soul to Christ. If I get discouraged, I'll never lead, my discouragement won't lead somebody to Christ. I remember the day when I was out visiting and I left my car. I was going to go visiting for 2 hours. And I thought, by the time I get back to my car, I at least want to have a good visit in with somebody. And so I went out, and it was no home, no home, no home, no home. And then finally I talked to somebody, and they didn't want to have anything to do with what I was talking about, the plan of salvation. And I went across the street. I talked to somebody else, and this person, yeah, I know all about it, and I'm busy. And he slammed the door, and it just seemed like closed door, closed door, closed door. I turned around, looked across the street, and there was a fella trying to get into his house. So I thought, well, maybe I can help him out and maybe be able to witness to him. And so he pulled off the screen, and he had locked himself out of his house. Pulled off the screen and lifted the window up and pushed the cat out of the way. And there he went inside of his house. And I was like, well, I'd like to talk to you. All right, let me give that piece of paper. And he was in the house and the curtains were blowing outside of the window. And I'm like, well, all right, that's not going to work out. And so I went down the street and I saw this great big tall apartment complex. I thought, maybe I can get in there. And it was security. So I waited at the door a few minutes and then somebody came out. I went in and went up to the top floor. Went up to the top floor, and I knocked on the door. And as I knocked on the door, somebody said, hold on, I'm coming. And, the person said, come on in. And so I just knocked again and let them open the door for me. And lo and behold, there stood Jenny. And Jenny was standing there, and she said, boy, I remember I used to go to that church when I was just a little girl, and we talked for a while, and said, I promise I'm going to be there on Sunday. I promise I'm going to be there on Sunday. And now, you know, you saw her and Corey get married here, and what a blessing it's been. Salvation, baptism, marriage, growing in the Lord on a discouraging day. I mean, it was probably like one of these gray days that we've had for the last 5 days. Amen. It was a discouraging day. But you never know who you're going to meet. God's been working on somebody. Don't let your discouragement get in the way. Don't let it get in the way. Because God or discouragement has never won a soul to Christ. The soul winner only, or the soul winner is only the messenger. The soul winner is only the messenger. I am taking a message that I've been given and I am giving it to somebody else. You are taking a message God has given you and you're giving it to somebody else. The message is not or the messenger is not responsible for how well the message is received, but rather how well it is delivered. The messenger isn't responsible how well it's received, only how well it's delivered. I want to do the best to my ability in giving that message properly and to the best of my ability. So, Brother Hanson, I don't know all the different scriptures and I don't know all the different things. It's all right. Just do the best to your ability. Do the best to your ability. And you say, well, I've talked to people and they just brush me off thinking that I'm a nuisance. It's all right. Don't worry about that. But why? Because the messenger, the soul winner, is not responsible on how well it's received, just that the message gets out to the best of his ability. Physical preparation. The soul winner must keep himself well kept because he is not only representing himself, but also God. I am representing a king. I am representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to present myself to the best of my abilities. I remember in college we had a congressman, J.C. Watts, come to our service. He came for Veterans Sunday, and he was going to preach. He was going to preach for us. And that representative, we talked about it. We advertised it, and it was an exciting Sunday. Boy, a state representative is going to come, and he's going to preach for us. And he was a fireball, and he preached God's word. But you know what? He was a representative of the people of Oklahoma. Now that's not as big as representing a king, is it? But he didn't get off the plane with great big holes in his knees. And he didn't get off the plane with matted hair. And he didn't get off the plane with all unkept. He got off the plane in a fashion that he was representing the people of Oklahoma. As I go out and as I go soul winning, I am representing myself, but I'm also representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm representing my King. The soul winner must keep himself well kept. Don't appear to people like you just got out of bed and decided to go soul winning. Amen? Don't appear to people like that. You'll scare them. Amen? You're going to scare them. And they definitely won't listen to you then. Praise the Lord. Let everything be done decently and in order. Let everything be done decently and in order. I want myself to be presented to the lost person in an orderly fashion so that my position does not offend them. I remember going to a youth conference when I was 10 years old. It was my brothers and sisters that actually were attending the youth conference, and I just got to sit in on the night services. And I remember the preacher preached, and it was a good message. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I went down, and I surrendered my life. But I remember as I came down, the man that took me and prayed with me, all I can remember is that man had horrible breath. Good night. The whole time I held my breath to not smell his breath. He was horrible. And that's all I remember of his prayer. I don't remember any words. I don't remember anything else. I just remember, boy, he was something, amen. And you don't want to be remembered as you go back to visit that person's house. As, all right, put my gas mask on, amen. Put my big goggles on, and hopefully they'll kind of distort something here, and I won't be offended as bad as they really look or they smell. Amen. Let everything be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. Personal hygiene is vitally important for the soul winner's appearance. Comb your hair. These are basic things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these. Comb your hair, shine your shoes. Breath freshened. Amen. All right, it really helps. Praise the Lord for that. A person will respond to what they see quicker than what they hear. A person is going to respond if you put your hand up on the railing and you forgot something that morning. A person's going to all of a sudden have something to do. They're going to be busy all of a sudden. Or if you forgot to brush your teeth or bring breath mints with you or something like that. A person's not going to remember what they heard, but rather what they smelt or saw. Amen? Remember, you are not only representing yourself, but also your Christ, your God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I am an ambassador for God. You, as soul winners, are ambassadors for God, for Jesus Christ. So as an ambassador, I want to present myself to the best of my abilities. A soul winner should have the following materials to aid him in his soul winning. A New Testament. That's very basic, the New Testament. Yet, how many times do we have a gospel tract, we go out, and then all of a sudden, let me show you this verse here, and let me grab my Bible. And then you ask the silent partner, you got your Bible? No, I don't have mine either. It's important that you bring your New Testament. Why? Because not everybody is going to just follow, okay, all right, Romans Road, we'll just follow right here. They're going to ask questions. What do you mean I'm saved forever? What do you mean baptism doesn't wash away my sins? Can you show me that? I'm just curious. I'm not questioning your truthfulness. I'm just curious. I want to see the verse. If you don't have your New Testament, you're not going to be able to show them the scriptures on their questions and remove their excuses so that you can lead them to the Lord. Bring gospel tracts. A pad of paper to record addresses. A pad of paper or some kind of paper. I use the steno pads because then if I write on a 3x5, put it in my suit coat, I'll hang my suit coat up, and they have to go to the dry cleaners ever so often, and they pull them out, and all those addresses, hot prospects, get lost. If I have my steno pad, I can just look back and see, okay, this person needs to be visited, this person was a hot prospect, I'll go back and I'll visit them. I have all those addresses. If I have a pad of paper to record addresses in. How many times have you left a house and said, okay, 1723, 1723, 1723, 1723, South 5th Street. Okay, I got that. As soon as I get home, I'll write it down. And you never write it down. Huh? Bring a pen. It always helps out so that you don't have to ask the resident, hey, do you have a pen? I can write your address down. Sure, I'll give you a pen here, and then you walk off with the pen. Amen. Let everything be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. Spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation of the soul winner is the greatest preparation he can have. If a person were to do the spiritual preparation and not know about all the other preparation that I've talked about, God can still bless them.
That's right.
The spiritual preparation is the most important. You say, well, I can't do all those other things. I think everybody can do all those other things, but the most important preparation is your spiritual preparation. And you know what? It's the hardest. You know why? Because it takes time. It takes time. The soul winner must pray before they go out. Pray, God, give me the words as I speak to people. God, give me the heart for people as I go soul winning. Ask God to fill you. with Holy Spirit power, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. With Holy Spirit wisdom, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. And Holy Spirit love. This Holy Spirit power, ask God to direct you to the houses that God's been working on. God knows whose He's been working on. God knows who the soil that He's been softening in the hearts He's been working on and put in different circumstances in people's lives. And He knows, I'm going to have this person do this and this circumstance in this person's life so that I'm going to bring the soul winner right across. And the person says, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I've done everything and it's none of it's helped to me. And the soul winner comes along and says, this is your answer. And not giving a false answer, not giving a false hope. This is the answer to man's problems. The Word of God and salvation. Ask God to direct you. I can remember going visiting or going out when I traveled with Brother Boyd. Brother Boyd told us a story about a soul winner that he went calling with, and the soul winner was, I guess he Brother Boyd said he wanted to impress him on his. How he was led by the Holy Spirit. So they're driving down the road, they're talking, and this man, he whips the car around, and he says, I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me to this house. I think the Lord is working on this person's life, and I think God's going to do something at this door. So they turn the car off, they get out of the car, and they go to the house, and there on the door, front door, is the sign, no vacancy, amen, vacant, and Brother Boyd just kind of looked at him and said, okay, all right, whatever you're following, it's not working, amen. the soul winner will develop a love for lost souls when he sees the need of their salvation. Mine eye affecteth my heart, Lamentations 3 and verse 51. The eyes are the keys to which open the door of love and compassion in a soul winner's heart. The soul winner sees the needs and the heart, broken hearts of people, and the Lord gives them that love. That's why, bus captains, that's why you have a burden for your bus kids like nobody else does. Why? Because you visit the homes. You see the need. And those kids, God's put that burden on your heart. But the key to that burden is your eyes seeing those needs that those kids have. Many times in the New Testament, we read that Jesus first saw the multitude, was filled with compassion, then moved to minister to their needs. Prepare your heart to receive the blessings. Expect God to bless. Go and expect God to bless. I'm going to go soul winning this hour and a half or this 2 hours this week. God, I'm expecting, I prepared myself, I prayed. God, I'm expecting you to bless. God cannot bless until you're on blessing ground. Make sure you're on blessing ground. The lack of preparation will result in the lack of fruit one will bear. The lack of preparation will result in the lack of fruit one will bear. Don't prepare yourself, and you'll probably not come home or come back from soul winning and have all these people saved and these different stories you can talk about. Preparation is so vitally important for the soul winner. I must prepare mentally for the rejection. I must prepare physically so I'm not an offense to somebody. I must prepare spiritually so that God can bless me. I'm on blessing ground. God, I'm expecting you to do something through me today. Let's be effective. Let's let our soul winning be with a purpose. The servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. I go soul winning because I have it in my heart. I want to obey God. And I'll prepare myself adequately so that I can be effective in my soul winning. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for soul winning. I thank you for the great commission that you've given us. Now, God, I pray that we would prepare ourselves effectively. God, I pray that we wouldn't let fear cripple our effectiveness in our soul winning. But God, I pray that you would let that we would let you work through us, God, and prepare ourselves for the blessing that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Listen very carefully. When I sat down with Brother Caleb and asked him to put this together, I told him, I said, I don't want you to leave any detail out. Don't leave any detail out. It's covered all. That's where you got all this physical preparation. That's where you come up. That's where he had all that in there. I don't want to leave any detail out, friend, because something as important as being an effective witness for Christ, there's nothing unimportant about it. And some things he said tonight were pretty common sense things. But that's the truth, folks. If you've ever been around a person with body odor, you didn't hear one thing they said. You didn't hear one thing they said. All you remember is they stunk. Is that right or not? That's right, see? So I told him, I said, Caleb, don't leave anything out of this. I want you to cover this thing like you're teaching elementary school kids. Put everything in there that goes into your soul winning. Because God has blessed this young man, and I tell you what, I'm not too good to learn from him. I'll promise you that. Amen? And that was a blessing tonight. I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. We're not going to have an invitation song. When we get done with this thing, I may next week. I'll just wait on the Lord and see. We may not have an invitation until the last week. But I hope this will motivate our church. He said one great statement. I don't know, and he probably didn't have this in his notes. This might have just been ad lib. He said, you know, we use the excuse, I'm not very good at it. And he said, you won't get any better by not going. That's true. There's a lot of truth just in that one statement right there. Tremendous. So that's a blessing. I appreciate it, Brother Caleb. Amen. It's important that you look right, prepare yourself mentally, physically, and of course that's spiritual. It goes without saying. Amen.